Welcome to the Rise Podcast. I'm Rachel Hollis, and I've built a multi-million dollar media company with a high school diploma and a Google search bar. Each week, we'll be sharing tangible, direct advice or inspiring interviews with the same intention. These are the tools to change your life. Hey friends, today on the Rise Podcast, I am so excited to introduce you to one of my dearest friends, Chris Chandler. If you have ever had the pleasure of taking one of Chris's Soul Cycle classes, then you know his special brand of magic. If you're not already familiar, you're going to get a whole lot of him at this year's Rise Conference. Today, we're talking about all the things, what it means to come up in the fitness industry, what it means to come out in a Christian family, and despite what you may believe, I promise it is not actually sponsored by SoulCycle. Here is our conversation. We had drinks, I don't know, like last month, and yeah. It was such a good conversation about health and what it means to be healthy and how you can thrive in your life, and I was like, dang, I gotta have him on the podcast. So before we get into all the groovy, good things that are gonna be helpful for people who are starting out a new year,
yeah,
tell us about yourself.
Ooh.
Yes.
The open-ended, tell us about yourself
however
question.
That goes for you.
Hello, everybody out there. My name is Chris Chandler. I live here in Austin, Texas with my husband and three dogs. George, Buddy, and Jovi.
Yes, no, yes, in case you're wondering.
And Buddy and Jovi, the Elf movie.
Obviously,
we need to get into that.
Yes.
We have three chickens as well.
Of course
you
do.
Did you know that?
I didn't know. What are the chickens named?
Beaker, Becky, and Dion.
Okay.
We actually weren't planning on having the chickens, but when we were buying the house, they have a chicken coop, and on the signing, when we got the keys, they're like, oh, the owners left the chickens for you.
Not true.
True.
Texas.
So,
Hashtag Texas. So do you get fresh eggs?
Yeah.
Oh, but you're vegan. What do you do with your eggs? Do you eat your fresh eggs? Oh, it's coming out. It's coming out.
It was like Christmas morning.
Yes.
We'd like open up the chicken coop, and the eggs were there.
Yes.
But now... We get it and we just give it away to people now.
How funny.
Brad's my husband. Brad made a cake one time and like used eggs to make the cake extra
delicious.
Cakey and delicious.
Yeah. I love that you're like, this is like your confession. These are confession. My confessions.
Oh my gosh, I'm a vegan that eats eggs and honey.
How do we know each other? Tell about that.
Rach and I met in LA.
Yeah. Wait, did we? I thought I took your class for the first time here.
I thought we met in Los Angeles.
Did we? Okay.
The world sometimes blends
yes,
for me.
Yeah, it could be real. I remember your first class when we had come to do the very first Rise here in Austin. And Sammy and Beans were like, let's go.
That's probably where it was.
And do our friend Chris. You all went to college.
Yes.
Yeah? So our friend Chris, he's an awesome Soul Cycle instructor. And I love Soul. She was like, this would be a great way to start the day. And we went and... It is, if you've never done a Soul Cycle class, I always describe it as like church and therapy and like a dance party and a pump-up session.
Yeah.
And you are so unique in what you do, which is why.
I'm blushing.
It's so true. No, it's so true. It's why we're working on the first day of Rise this year is the health day.
Yeah.
And you're the MC and you're on stage with me and it's going to be awesome because I wanted everybody in the audience to get to experience the magic of getting to learn from you and be encouraged by you in a way that only you can do. So how'd you get into Soul?
Thank you for that.
Yes,
it makes me feel so good.
Of course.
Well, I'll backtrack.
Yeah. Do it.
And I may go on a bunch of different tangents.
We're ready
but
for it.
I was such a Soul hater.
Mm-mm.
I was a hater.
Really?
I was like, who in their right mind would pay $30
yes.
for 45 minutes of their
it's
time?
It's very expensive. People in
it
Ohio
is.
Right now just like wrecked
They're
their
like,
car. Yeah.
$30 I could get a month and a half at whatever gym.
Yeah.
You know? And it ended up being my safe place, my safe haven for me to feel and express myself. And So even further back, my father passed away from cancer in May of 2013. Mm-hmm. And I was living in LA and my mom lives in Chicago. And I went home to be with her after my dad died. I went and stayed for 2 weeks in hospice with my dad and like had our final moments together. And I actually came out to my dad 2 weeks before he died, like that wow. week. And I had all these different preconceived ideas of how he would respond. Mm-hmm. And it was different mm-hmm. than anything I had ever expected. And
'cause you grew up in a very religious home?
Very religious yeah. home. And so I had ideas based on prior conversations of how it would turn out. Mm-hmm. And it surprised me in the best way possible.
Good.
And I felt nothing but love and acceptance and adoration even from coming out to him and being truthful with who I am. Mm. I was working at the university that I had been at before. And like I said, I decided to go home and be with my mom. And in that 6 month period, I kind of went through all different things. I came out to my mom after that. I came out to my family and friends. And
may I ask, was everybody as accepting as your dad?
In my immediate circle, yes. Mm-hmm. But like some family friends, no. Mm-hmm. Or wouldn't be to my face accepting or like mm-hmm. deliberately not ask about that part of my mm-hmm. life. You know?
Which, how does that feel when you're walking through it?
When I'm walking through that, it feels debilitating.
Yeah.
It does.
I think it's worth asking because I feel like there are probably listeners who maybe don't have anybody in their life. Well, you probably do.
Right.
But you don't right. really, you don't have anyone right. in your life that's ever had to come out or
right.
or go through that place. And I think sometimes, like, I think of, like, my meemaw.
Right.
My meemaw's attitude would be like, well, we're going to love you, but we're going to not talk about that thing. We're going to ignore that it's here. We're not going to acknowledge it in any way. And that almost feels
like love the sinner, hate the love the
yes.
sinner, hate the sin
yeah.
mentality. Yeah.
But also that there's a piece of you, a huge piece of you, like
right.
the core of who you are, that we're just going to pretend doesn't exist.
Doesn't exist.
Yeah.
Or like, for example, if my sister was dating someone, they would ask, oh, who are you dating? Who are you dating? Who are you dating? And then
like,
if I
Steve.
Yeah. And then like that question wouldn't even be
oh, I see. I see.
So it's like little yeah. subtleties like that.
Oh, meaning they would ask her who she was dating and not ask you.
Right.
Yeah.
Because that is just like off limits.
Yeah.
My
experience with it is we have some mutual friends who
yeah.
had a really hard journey as they came out.
Yeah.
And so that's my memory of it. But I think that experience, the way people treated them when they came out did forever change my opinion of how we love people and how we
oh,
show
yeah.
up for people and how we accept them, because I was so disheartened by that.
Right.
And I love you telling your story because I know that there's someone listening right now who will perceive it in a different way
right.
of what it means to love someone well, even if you don't understand
right.
them.
And you know, in the moment, you know when you like get a critique and it's the only thing that consumes your mind, but you've in the past 10 days had like all these different shining reviews or something like that or
yes.
whatever.
Yes.
The one critique clouds your mind.
Yeah.
Instead, you don't recognize how accepting and loving all the people that you thought weren't going to were for you.
Mm.
And so it was a good reminder for me to allow people to have their own experience with what they believed about who I am
mm-hmm.
and also detach myself from it.
Mm. So wait, I just want to dig into that because I think that's really powerful. So even if someone wasn't behaving in a way to you that was what you would consider loving, like you still, then your attitude was still like, I'm going to have enough love or respect for me, for you to let you process this how you need
yeah.
to. Yeah. That's incredible.
I'm pretty sure my mom will be okay with this.
Yeah.
My mom will be okay with it. My mom and I have been on a journey. Mm. When it comes to this. And right now, my mom is like the most pro, I love my son and my son-in-law that I feel like anybody could ever be. And we've had experiences where I've had to allow her to unpack and unwind her own programming of what she felt about this topic without having someone that was directly affected by that topic, homosexuality, if you will.
Yeah, yeah.
Does that make sense?
No, that's awesome. Because I think that everyone obviously processes things differently, but if you presume that everyone's going to know or figure it out or respond the way you want to,
right.
Particularly those, especially if you're older and especially if you grew up with certain doctrinations or, you know, the ideals that you believe, like that's how I was raised. That's how my family was raised.
And I think I was able to extend that in certain instances because for so much of my life, I believed that I wasn't enough or that I should change because I had these feelings or that it took so long for me to rewire that thinking that I know that other people would probably need some time too.
Yeah. What is there, and by the way, you can at any time be like, nope, I don't want to answer that question.
Right.
I just added it out. But what was, like, you grew up in a religious home.
Yeah.
You went to a Christian college.
Yeah.
So did you know the whole time and you were afraid to let people know or you were practicing the part? Like,
I was practicing the part.
Yeah.
I knew the whole time, but I don't think that I had the language to the language and exposure to feel like I could identify with something. Mm-hmm. For example, like for me, the only exposure I had to someone who would identify as gay as someone that was like heavily addicted to drugs and ended up committing suicide. And then like other people who were, which is just who they are, were more effeminate. And that just wasn't something that I feel is a part of me. And so I think I was searching for my own like, okay, is that me?
Mm.
Is that who I am?
Yeah.
And, but then also I didn't want to give up this part that I felt was sacred, my faith.
Yeah.
But I felt like they were at war with one another.
Wow.
But actually in college was when I dug deeper and had my theology and biblical studies professors like go through it at a deeper level than I've ever had in a church setting.
Yeah.
And that allowed me to love myself.
Mm.
So it's actually pretty ironic. Is irony the term?
Yeah, irony would be the term.
That like my biblical studies professors with all these different degrees and like experiences allowed me to feel like I was loved just as I am.
Which is the foundation of Christian faith.
Which is the foundation.
Which is so, so crazy that you're loved and worthy. I mean, that's the gospel. Like you're loved and worthy and enough as you are.
As you
right
are.
Right now, today.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, dang it. And we got boom, way boom, off boom, topic, boom, but boom. Gosh, I love it. So tell me then how you're in Chicago. How then did soul play into this healing time for
right.
you? Because is that when you got into it?
No.
Oh, okay.
So I didn't work, and I was just there with my mom, helping around the house, doing the different things that, like, nobody tells you you have to do after someone dies, and, like, the logistical things. And then I was also flying back and forth. I was gifted, like, one of those buddy passes, and so I could be with my mom, but then at the drop of a hat, go fly to California and, like, hang with my friends for the day and then come back, which was, like, a beautiful experience. And I decided I was going to run a marathon.
I don't know this story at all.
No, I was going to
it.
Run a marathon.
Okay, wait, what year is this?
This is 2013.
Okay, great. And you're how old?
I am.
How old are you right now?
30? I am 29.
You're 29, so you're 24.
So I was 24.
24, 26.
Funny thing is, I was a math major my freshman year, and I could not do that at the time.
Oh, don't worry. Don't you worry.
And I decided, I was like, you know what? I need to do something for me that challenges me, that gives me structure, that allows me to feel committed to something. Because although that like 6 month period was awesome and I could like fly by the seat of my pants, I needed some sort of structure if I was going to stay through the holidays, which backtracking, my idea was to be back in California before Christmas. But then I was like, Christmas was a very sacred time for my family. why would I leave my mom in the first Christmas without my dad?
Yeah.
And so I was like, okay, how am I going to run this marathon? Well, I need some athletic clothes. What company can I work for as a seasonal employee? And I was like, oh, my cousin works at Lululemon. Let me see if I can get a job. And I got the job because I wanted to get cheap clothes, and I ended up like falling in love with the company culture.
Wow. And they do have a really rad culture.
Wanting to, like, that introduced me to vision casting for my life, mm-hmm. goal setting, and I ended up staying with the company after transferring to Glendale, California.
That's where we live forever. You were at the
I was at the Americana.
Americana?
Yeah. Our paths were probably...
For sure, you probably like helped me find like a sports bra at some point in my life.
I'll tell you all about it.
I bet.
I know all about those fabrics,
oh,
girl.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I love Lululemon.
Yeah.
I went to that store all the time. Yeah. I miss the Americana, actually.
The Americana is like...
All the things you need. It's if you've never been, it's like a big outdoor mall that sort of looks... It's adult Disneyland.
With a huge fountain that prays,
yes,
that like, plays the prayer by,
yeah,
Andrea Bocelli,
yes,
every single,
yes,
night.
Yeah.
And there's couples making out.
Yeah,
and it's,
yeah,
just like, it's a thing.
Yeah. It's a totally thing. It's like Bellagio, but in the LA suburbs.
And so,
so you're at Lululemon.
I'm at Lululemon, and they have, Lululemon has a great company perk that they allow you to work out as part of their benefit. And I tried SoulCycle for the first time. Skipping back, I ran my marathon. I was committed to it in 15 degree weather in Chicago. Went to Newport Beach because that's where it was, and ran it. And I was like, what
you
I
ran
would
a
find,
full.
I ran
you
a
ran
full.
Full. Wow. Never as your
doing...
first race?
Yeah.
You didn't do a 10K half. You went.
Well, I've done a 5K before, like a turkey trot with friends.
Yeah, no. But you didn't,
like...
do a half. Because most people who are training for the first time are like, I'll try a 10K, then I'll try a half.
And I was like, go big
you
or go home.
You went big all the way.
Yeah.
Okay, whoa. What was that experience like?
It was one of the hardest things I've ever,
yeah,
done.
It's...
And I wasn't very educated on what to do, so I downloaded like an app that told me what... how much I should run, what I should be doing. I didn't cross train at all. I ended up hurting my knee.
Mm.
It's better now. Like, and I ran the LA marathon with my friend,
yeah,
after that to like,
yeah,
give myself a redemption round.
Yeah. How was that run?
Brutal. It was 94 degrees outside.
I think we ran the same one.
Yeah. No.
It was the worst.
The worst.
It was in like February,
yeah,
and it was in the 90s. It was,
yeah,
like this freak thing. And people were literally dropping as we were running. And that was such a... Mind
I added an
mess.
Hour and 15 minutes to my time. That I
ran the LA marathon in 5.5 hours.
Right.
People are like, oh, I, you know, finally did a personal best, 2.5 hours or whatever. I'm like, good for you.
I think we did that the,
yeah,
same.
Yeah.
Because I think my mine was like 5 hours and 45 minutes.
It wasn't,
or something like
mine
that.
Was not fast.
No.
But I finished and I never walked.
And
that was
that
the only
is
thing.
It.
That's all that,
that
matters.
That is it.
But it was one of the hardest things I've ever done in my life. But I was so aware the entire time about how powerful our bodies are.
Right.
Like, what I still think of that. And I still think,
oh,
of,
yeah,
like, I was sitting in the bath the other night and I was thinking, I've been having some fun in the holiday season, been,
yeah,
eating some foods, you know, still getting my workouts in, but I've been having some fun.
As you
and
should.
I looked down and I've got a nice little pooch, you know, in the bath. I got a nice little pooch and I got the stretch marks going and I started to go like, oh, Rach. And then I was like, I made myself stop right in that moment and I was like, right now, thank your body for what it's done. Like, these legs have run a marathon. That stomach
has
carried
three
babies.
Kids. Yeah.
These arms have, like, right now, like, look at what you have. And I do think, as y'all are listening to this, there's something really powerful as we start a new year of physically challenging yourself in some way.
Yeah.
Not a marathon, just some kind of physical challenge so that you can celebrate what your body's capable,
yeah,
of.
Totally.
One of my favorite things that you said during a SoulCycle class.
Tell me.
Because you say, I mean, I'm not kidding. I wish that you were allowed to like have a phone in there because I would just rip off all your quotes. Because later I can't remember what you say, but in the moment I'm like, dang, man, he pulled that from the depths of his soul. But you said something like, we're all in this room because... not because we want to look a certain way, but because we want to feel a certain way. And I think that's such a beautiful definition of reaching for great health,
yeah,
and like reaching for a better version of you. I love that. Is that like a company motto and I'm too dumb to know it?
No.
Or that's your own personal thing?
I mean, most of SoulCycle is it's getting lost in the music. It's feeling good. It's not feeling like you're working out and then all of a sudden it's over, and having an experience that's more than physical. Right?
Just real quick, if anyone is, do not buy Chris's, it feels like a workout.
I mean, it feels like
He's
a workout.
Like,
don't
it
get me
doesn't
wrong.
Feel like a workout. But no, you will die. Chris will make your arms
you will thrive.
Cry. You will thrive. You will thrive. It is the best workout.
Maybe
ever.
Not feeling like you're working out is the bad thing, but to get lost in your movement.
You do, absolutely.
Because to lose track of the time.
You dance.
Yeah.
Yeah, you dance on the bike, which makes zero sense if you haven't done a class before.
Right.
What I love about SoulCycle, this is not an ad.
This sounds like a giant ad
for SoulCycle, and it's not. If anyone follows me, they know I'm a big fan.
Yeah.
What I love about a class is that every kind of person is on a bike. Every size, every shape, every age, every color,
yep.
Every kind of person is on a bike. And I feel like a lot of times with gyms or different places, there's a certain, like, if you have a certain look or a certain aesthetic, then you're like the right one here.
Yeah.
And what I love about Soul is that, like, it, I don't know, do you, that A, it's not that vibe, and B, watch out. Because some people, you're like, oh, where did that come from,
sister?
They're whipping their hair, they're doing the whole thing, they're hollering,
they're singing. And I always have to remember my, like I've been saying, I was a hater. I was like, why would anybody ever pay that money for 45 minutes? And then I need to remember my first experience.
Well, tell me about it.
Okay, so it goes back to, I needed something after I was done with my marathon to feel like I felt after my runs. And after my runs, I felt more clear. I felt like I was able to process. I was going to see a therapist while I was in Chicago at the same time. And it's running and therapy coincided with one another. And after my running phase was over, I needed something that gave me the same feeling of being able to process, being able to feel, and also feel better afterwards. And so right after my first SoulCycle class, I felt like I was just done with my runs or just had gotten out of my session with my therapist and being like, whoa, that was really hard. Whoa, that was not easy. And whoa, it was worth every second.
Wow. How did you go from that to instructor? I always wonder how people make that leap.
Well, after that first time, it was like I got a taste of it and I needed more. And I kept going and kept going. And the particular instructor that I would go to in Los Angeles, she's...
Is it Danielle?
Well, Danielle was my friend who's worked at Lululemon with me.
Okay.
And then I would start taking her class. But the first class I ever took was Angela Davis. And if you're in Los Angeles and you're listening,
Women of Faith tour.
Yeah. She was in that Amy Schumer movie.
She's amazing.
She's incredible.
Yeah.
She's on a bike instructor.
Yeah. She is church on a bike.
And she was my first taste of like what this whole space could be. And then I started riding with more people with my friend Danielle, and she worked at Lululemon
I miss Danielle's classes. Shout out to Danielle in Pasadena. If you're in Pasadena, go take her class. She's in Hollywood sometimes,
too. And downtown Los Angeles.
Yeah. Now she's in DT.
Yeah.
She's fantastic.
She
has a very... what is so rad about instructors is they all have a very specific style.
Yeah.
And Danielle is like, to me, very spiritual, calming. I used to go to her on Sunday evening because it was like the perfect thing to do to mellow down before you went into your week. She was awesome.
She's amazing. And I had been riding for like 7 or 8 months, and then I just asked her, I was like, what was it like to audition for SoulCycle? Like, what is it? And
You audition.
It is straight up like a...
Like, you audition before you know how to ride a bike?
Well,
what?
Like,
I'm so confused.
So you audition, they put a microphone on you for the first time, and you basically like would teach what your class would be. You know how to ride, obviously, now.
Okay.
Sorry, it had been 8 months since I had first taken my class.
But you don't go to training?
You audition and then you go to training.
Oh, this is bananas.
Yeah.
Okay, so you were like, I'm gonna go audition.
Yes.
Are people riding? Like,
so you teach for your other people who are auditioning. So there's like, it's
crazy.
And you have two songs, and I don't know how they do it nowadays, but they would just like switch it over in the middle and they would see how you would adapt
transition,
to it and then transition and coach.
You get to pick your songs though?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was Lay 'Em Down by Need to Breathe. It was one that would show like your soul and one that would show like your party.
Yeah.
And the other one is a mashup of.
I'm ready for it.
It's The Lion King.
I was taking a drink of your coffee. I almost just spit it on Chris.
It's Lion King.
Which song?
It's Circle of Life.
Of course.
Yep.
This feels right.
Mashed up with Lil Wayne's Stuntin' Like My Daddy. And that was like an ode to my father
in
a little bit.
That feels perfect.
So like in a funny way, I was able to like
but
show my...
What I'm so confused about is that I always thought that everything you're doing there, like how would you, I guess you would take what you had done in classes and you just try and adapt it.
Totally.
I'm trying to think of how they would know that.
That like you don't know how to teach a soul cycle class.
Yes, okay, that's good. They're like, do you have the attitude?
They can teach you anything, but is it how do you own a space? How do you take command of a room? How do you connect with people? Mm-hmm. And they can see that right from the start. They're experts at it.
Yeah. So, that is your spiritual gifting, is your ability to connect with people.
You think so?
Absolutely. 100%. And everyone who's coming to Rice is going to get it.
Because, Brad was asking me the other day, he's like, what is your main goal in what you do? And we're like building my website and stuff like that. And I was like, I want people to connect with themselves so much so that they feel like they can see themselves in another person and then connect with them.
Unpack that. Like, I want to understand that fully.
I think in this day and age where everything's go, 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 where social media will like grip at your attention, where there's all different things vying for a little piece of who you are, that we are so desperate to connect inwardly. And when we have that depletion of not connecting with ourselves, we don't connect with other people.
Mm.
Did that make sense?
Yeah, it did. What are the things that you do? I'm going to cheese ball because we're talking about it. But I think I get that in a soul cycle class.
Right.
Like that is, this sounds so cheesy and people are 100% like this will annoy some people.
Right.
And I don't say this in a disrespectful way, but it is a spiritual experience.
Right.
It's whatever you want it to be, really. It's meditative or it's fun or it's a party. But for me, I always feel like it's 45 minutes of prayer set to a Beyonce soundtrack.
Of course.
Which is really what I need.
Let's be real, it's prayer.
that's what we need.
Let's get in formation.
Let's get in this formation prayer. That's incredible.
Yeah. And, I mean, when you think about it, it's in a dark room.
Mm-hmm.
It is moving your body in a way that you're uncomfortable with on a bike. And like you're vulnerable and exposed and there's no other option but to connect with yourself. And then it's my job to facilitate an energy in a room where people not necessarily feel comfortable connecting with people because connection's not comfortable, but feel like they have the ability to connect.
The advanced reader copies of Girl Stop Apologizing are officially out in the world. Which means, for the first time ever, people besides my editor are reading my new book. And I can't wait for you to read it too. I wrote Girl Stop Apologizing because I wanted to give women permission to do just that. Stop apologizing for who you are. Stop apologizing for the dreams and goals and hopes you have for your life. The tagline for this book is a shame-free guide for embracing and achieving your goals. So if you have big, audacious dreams for your career or great, fantastic personal goals for yourself, this is the book for you. It comes out March 12th, and you can pre-order now on Amazon.com. Yes, I just was remembering this about you, and I learned not to do it because if I do, you'll get on to me in a class. And
Tell
I think
me.
This is like even before we even knew each other that well.
Okay.
But you don't let people look down. Are you aware of that?
Sometimes,
or at least you've caught me, like many times I've been corrected for that in your class, where it's like you don't let them hang their head. There's something like physical about, like I would... looked like, oh, this is so hard. I like looked, oh, I should put, I'm sorry. The sound guy's like, what are you doing?
I'm
physically looking down at my lap. But I would look down and you'd either come over or you'd call me out and be like, Rachel, you were good. Like, and there was something about having to raise your head that made me stay present in that moment instead of like, because my attitude is like, this thing is hard. I'm going to blank out my mind right. and just try and get through it. That's right. kind of my MO. Yeah. Like, oh, just power your way through it. Don't think about it. But the physical act of having to raise your head, like I'm not going to take a defeated posture
right.
because that will pull me out of what this moment is.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that's something you do for everybody or you do have an intuitive ability to just be like, you there, ma'am.
Ma'am.
Girl with the extension. raise your head, queen. Your crown's going to fall off.
You're beautiful just
yeah,
as you are.
Exactly.
You know, I think a lot of it has to do when you do look down, a lot of other systems in your body start to take control. And so it's an intentional movement in your posture to open yourself up to what's happening around you.
Mm-hmm.
And you could still have a very personal, intimate experience while being open to what's happening in the spaces yeah. that are left and right and front yeah. and back. So
talk about if someone's never taken a class before.
Yeah.
One of the things I think people would find hard to believe. Honestly, this is the greatest SoulCycle ad ever. And
I know.
It's not a SoulCycle.
SoulCycle,
ad.
You
they
can
better
talk
send
to
me some free rides. I need a package, please. But I think people would be surprised to understand like the things that happen to people on the bike. Meaning, I've done classes before where I've just like broken out bawling,
right.
like having a great time dancing. Like people really work through it. And why is that? Is it the physicality of?
I think the physicality yeah. is the bridge and the doorway
music too.
And the music. And
that's the key to a good instructor. If they don't like good music, or if they don't like the kind of music you like,
right? What, you got to vibe with
you gotta it. You got to vibe. And I feel like half your playlist, I'm like, are you reading my diary?
Sorry, what was the question?
Oh, no, I just like some people wouldn't believe kind of the transformations
oh, yeah.
that happen.
And
which
especially
I think
is... like I am now in the practice of before I go into class saying what I know about myself is true.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that like you do in your journals of like.
Yes.
I am this.
Yeah.
I am this. This is what I want for
yeah.
my day and writing into the present tense.
Yeah.
And so right now, the four things that I've been writing is I'm joyful. I'm inspiring. I'm a bridge builder. And I am me.
Yeah.
And then I put that on a post-it note. And then I always put a blank post-it note to the other side of the keyboard. It's on my computer. And I have it blank because I can take that and then be open to what is going to happen in the room.
Yeah.
And whenever I look over, even if I can't see it because it's dark, I know
what
I'm
that,
doing.
Yeah.
What
it's
I'm
so
doing.
Funny. So Brendan Burchard, we did an interview with him a couple
yeah.
weeks ago, and he said, so his thing is he creates physical triggers for himself. So one of his triggers is walking through a doorway.
Okay.
Every single time he walks through a doorway, he does something like this.
What does he say?
And his thing is, I am a happy man ready to serve.
Okay.
Or I am, you know, like, here I am, this is who I am, and this is what I'm here to do. And I love that intention. I love that intentionality.
My husband always says, who am I here to serve?
Mm.
Or how can I be open or used as a vessel?
Yeah. Talking about Brendan reminded me, he has a book that I love, and in it he talks about people, and he says there's two kinds of people. There's people who walk in a room and go, here I am. And the other kind of person, which is who you are, is the person who walks in the room and goes, oh, there you are. Instead of here I am, there you are. You have.
That makes me feel really good. And it's a very, I haven't thought about it like
yeah.
that. All I keep thinking about is Britney Spears' song Circus. There's only two types
of people
in
the
world.
Yeah, we promise we won't get too serious. But no, I do think that that's something, maybe it's because you're not from LA, but I knew you from LA circles,
yeah.
and that's not normal in LA.
Mm.
Chris's birthday was a few weeks ago, and yeah. we're out at a brewery out in the fields here, because that's what you do in Texas. And
you go to a field and you drink beer.
You drink beer. And there are so many people there. And in LA, the tendency would be like, I'm going to go talk to these two people and kind of everyone else, and I'm going to keep on the lookout for who matters more.
Mm-hmm.
I would say this about Brad too. Both of you are so, you are like with the person that you are talking to. You see the person that you like. I don't know, that is one of your innate gifts, is that whether it's in a class or in real life. I know you're my friend, so I'm just bringing you up, but I feel like you really see people and you like give them, that's a rare thing.
Because like, think of it on the other side of the spectrum. What's the worst feeling when you're interacting with someone?
Yeah.
When they're being pulled in 7 million different directions.
Yeah.
Or they're looking at their phone and then they look up and they're like, oh, what did you say again?
What'd you say? Yeah.
And so like, I don't know if, I can't, did you say this? Connection is the currency that will never go bankrupt.
I wish I did.
I don't know if that was me or I got Reddit. I probably read it somewhere. Whoever did that,
really
I'm not stealing that
quotes.
From you, but I'm putting it out there. And that's what I believe is the basis for my soul cycle class and for how I want to be as a human being in the world is to be one that's open to connection and what's around me in whatever capacity is possible.
And that's really worthwhile, I think, for people who are listening who are building careers or teams or products in, I mean, really any industry, but in the fitness industry for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Is that you truly have built a reputation. And just to give you an idea, you can't get into Chris's class in Austin. You can't. He's my friend and I can't get every like Friday. I'm like, oh, maybe I'll take Chris's class. Nope. Already sold out.
There are
every
some classes
class.
That are open.
But are there? No, I'm teasing you, but right. Just to give people an idea of how popular your classes are and how loyal your audience is, that you have built this following and this reputation through word of mouth, which nobody does in 2018, 2019 and beyond. Like nobody's doing that. And it's really, I think, one person at a time. Like I just know you. You weren't like, oh, how do I get more people in my classes?
Right.
You were just like, let me take care of this person in front of me.
Right.
And then the side effect was that person loved the experience so much that then they told someone else.
Yeah.
So if someone's listening and they're building a similar business or career, what are the things you've learned in the last couple of years that you could share with them?
So I've been teaching SoulCycle for almost 4 years now. And like, there's definitely been trial periods of like, what works and what doesn't? But the common denominator, like I said before, is like, are you connecting with the person in front of you? And yes, like music matters. And like, is your class challenging enough? Is it blah, blah, blah? Do you create a space where people feel welcome? But the connection is what matters. And people want to see, they want to see something to look up to, but at the same time, they want to see humanity. So in terms of like people that have their own business, I think of this as like the difference between online and retail. The reason why I would go to a retail store is because I would want that human interaction experience where someone's there to help me right then and there. And if they are not connected or in tune with the mission or goal of the business, I will leave a store because I'm like, I could go online and return it and do that.
You're so
and,
right.
And so like people could ride a bike at home. People could ride a bike outside, but what would make them want to experience something is the connection that they have with either themselves or the people around them or with me, I guess.
How do you?
That sounds weird.
No. That's
right.
Real.
Right.
How do you get better? Because I assume that you're a better teacher than you were a year ago or two years. So what are the things that you are doing? I'm sure the company you work for has some training, but are there things that you do to make sure that you're improving and not staying stagnant as a teacher?
Yeah. You could easily phone it in and like, do the same flow of playlist, meaning like people will know how your class is structured. I try to keep it so that every single time they show up, it's still the soul cycle experience, but the way that they feel will be different. Or what we do in class is experimental in terms of the physicality of the workout. I try to make sure that like I'm personally learning and growing myself and adding more education into my life, which is another part of what I want to do in 2019.
Yeah.
Speaking of.
Rise Weekend. So we, honestly, this is how this whole, if you're not familiar, Rise Weekend is a two-day women's conference that I produce every year that now is 3 days.
So
we added a third day because at the last conference, we had this exercise that we did where we asked people to check off different things on a box, different things that they've lived through, all these women. And there are 800 women in the audience. Do you know this story? I don't think you do. Okay, so we have this thing that Beans and I came up with. It's called Stand Up for Your Sister because we wanted a way to...
Yes, I do know it. Keep telling it.
So we have all these things that you check off, and one of the items on the list was, I hate the way I look.
Right.
And truthfully, I had added it a few days before the conference because I thought, oh, we should have something on there about body image. But it was truthfully a throwaway question. And we get to that. It's one of the last questions on the list. And almost every single woman in the room stands up. Hmm. And it didn't say I dislike my body. It said I hate, which is I mean, words have power. Like words, that's wow. And I just, I mean, in the footage, you can see like, first of all, I'm stunned. I'm just staring at the audience with my mouth open. And then I start crying.
Right.
Because I'm like, how are we, this is 2018. I'm like, how are we still here? This room of powerful, beautiful, strong women who are warriors. Like we've just heard the things that they've lived through and what they've built and how they're showing up for themselves and their families. And you're still caught up in this. So that day, I was like, I got to do something.
Right.
I don't know what, but I got to do something. And as we went into planning RISE Conference this year, the very first one's in Minneapolis, I thought, let's add an entire day, it's an add-on, about health.
Yeah.
Like, let's do a day devoted to health. And the hilarity, as per usual, I had no idea what that is. We still haven't narrowed it down. But I knew that we could have some really compelling conversations. I knew we could get some awesome speakers. And I was taking your class one day, and you said, you know, I don't even remember what it was, but it was something like beautiful and wise and funny and great. And you made a joke, and I was like, I got to get Chris on stage with me.
Hmm.
And I don't know if I text you or how it came
about.
It
was at the beer plant, the place that
yeah.
we went to.
I was like, would you consider? First, I think I asked you just to speak and you were like 100%.
Yeah.
And then I was like, will you be the MC? Like, will you just, can you do what you do for a Soul Cycle class for 3,800 women? And you were like, 100%. Which I love. It's so neat. Like, we have no idea what we're doing, but it's going to be epic. And we'll have a DJ. It'll be awesome. But we did talk. We went up to drinks, I don't know, 6-8 weeks ago. And we talked about, we sort of vision cast for that day, like what our intentions would be. And it was an amazing conversation.
Yeah.
I thought.
It was.
I was really excited about it. And I thought we'd just talk about it a little bit for anybody who's going so they can get excited. The second conference is in outside of Dallas,
okay,
which people, you knew that, right?
Yes.
We booked you for. I'm like, oh my gosh, please know that information.
I just don't know what I'm supposed to be surprised about or not.
Oh, no. You're great. But I wanted to give them just like a few things that we talked about that day and kind of our intentions with what we want to do for the women in the audience.
Right.
So one of the things that we feel really passionately about is the idea of being in good health is about how you feel, not how you look. Because health, weight, calories, those things are very, very triggering for women.
100%.
Talk about your experience with this with your students now.
I mean, there's people on every different spectrum of it that are like, have been bodybuilders or women bodybuilders or... people that come into the room super shy and have specific weight loss goals. And the thing about it is as they keep coming back, as they keep trusting themselves a little bit more, it becomes less about the weight and more about, like we say, the how they want to feel and how they feel afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
And they know that when they commit to themselves, when they carve out the space for them to move their bodies, that they find more clarity in their life that moves away from an obsession of this is how what size I need to be. Mm-hmm. This is what I need to, this is the number I need to see on the scale. And it's pretty magnificent what happens when people cross the bridge between this is what I think should happen, and then this is where I am, and this is how I want to feel.
Yeah.
Because if you're like, this is where I am, and this is a number that I want to hit, you're always going to ask for more. And that might lead you down a path that, like,
yeah,
a lot of people would find trouble with.
Absolutely.
But if how I want to feel is a sensation that you're after or a mentality that you're going for, you know what it's going to take to get there.
To get there. And you can get there any day of the week.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
And it becomes more of a practice mm-hmm. instead of a, I don't even want to call it a goal.
Like, yeah.
Because I can't remember the last time that I've weighed myself. And I used to struggle a lot
yeah.
with my own body image
yeah.
and weight and stuff like that. And especially in the gay community, like nowadays, it's harsh.
Yeah. Look, meaning like having the perfect body. Like
having the perfect
yeah.
body.
Yeah.
All of that. And so I think when we move away from an ideal that we think is what we're supposed to be into how we want to feel, that's when like the magic happens.
Yeah. Yeah.
Of like you, it's like getting rid of a toxic relationship with someone you recognize that you should have been out of a relationship with.
Yes.
Like weeks, months, years ago.
Yes. Well, one of the things we talked about, because the foundation of Rise has always been, we start with where we came from and then we work on where we're going.
Right.
And we talked about doing this with our relationship with our health in terms of starting with literally, where did you come from? Your family of origin
right.
and your culture, the place that you grew up in, because there's so much wrapped up in health beyond just whether or not you're able to try the latest like diet or
right.
get
yeah.
a gym. Like it's way more emotional.
Like, let's be real about this. I was a gimmick for everything growing
yeah.
up. Like, I believed what I was told about.
Oh, yes. Tell the story. I'm not laughing at you. I'm
no,
laughing
it's
with
funny.
You.
It's laughable. The FDA had the food pyramid
the
growing
freaking
up.
Food pyramid.
And it was 8 to 12 servings of grains a day
yeah,
is
it
healthy.
It was the basis.
It was the base
of the triangle.
Base for everything else. And so me and my second, third grade mind is like, I want to do good.
Yeah.
And I'm a 6 in the Enneagram, and so I'm loyal. Like,
you're I'm loyal like, to those grains.
I'm like, I want to do good. I want yeah. to, like, all the different things. And I would sit on my couch at home with a loaf of bread.
Sure.
And eat 8 to 12 slices of bread
Feels
after
right.
school.
Feels right.
And then my mom and dad are like, why is the bread like going away so fast? It's like, well, it's because I'm eating it.
Yeah, I'm being healthy. I'm following. I'm getting my daily
right.
allotment. Yeah.
And that is where I like
yeah.
started.
Well, for me, my family on both sides is from Oklahoma, and so very Southern culture, everything fried, everything covered in gravy and cheese, and for not only Southern culture, but also, and I say this with total respect for my grandparents, and I'm
yeah.
so proud of how hard they worked, but poor.
Yeah.
Poor Southern culture. So oftentimes then you're cooking what you can buy that you can buy in quantity. So potatoes, beans, you know, cornbread, like the things that we grew up eating were not healthy. I mean, even as I'm – because the next book's about health.
Yeah.
And even as I'm writing this down, I legit can't remember eating vegetables that didn't come from a can.
Yeah.
Corn – spinach from a can, like
right.
Popeye.
Yeah.
I mean, everything was fried. And the thing was, when it was a holiday or when we got some money, we celebrated by getting more food. So you
right.
celebrate by getting the things you normally can't afford. So food for me was happiness. Food was what you did when you were stressed. Food was the thing you could easily access that would alter your mood or the way that you celebrated.
Wow.
Right? What was food for you? I saw this on Oprah once. They were like, what was food for you?
Food for me growing up was a battle.
Ooh. Against yourself? Like?
Against, I think,
or
myself.
Or your parents? Yeah.
Or not, it wasn't against my parents. Like, I don't hold anything against my parents for how they fed us because
yeah.
they were doing the best with what they knew.
Yeah.
And
oh, mine too. 100%.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Like, it's not their fault. It's more of a systemic thing.
Sure.
But I, like I said, my weight fluctuated so much. And then, like, I would go through the fads of, okay, the Atkins says no carbs, so yeah. I'm just going to eat chicken because this
and
is
bacon.
How, and yeah. bacon. Like, that's all I'm going to do.
Yeah.
Oh, the ab energizer on As Seen on TV. Mom, I need this. I'm going to save up my allowance and buy this. And like, it ended up being this weird relationship where it was the food will make me feel a certain way in how I look. But if I mess up how I eat, it was always a negative spiral that would happen.
I asked this question years ago to a girlfriend of mine who'd battled eating disorder her whole life. And I asked, you know, what is food to you? And she said, food is the enemy.
Right.
And I was like, oh. Because mine is like, food is my friend.
Right.
Food.
Same here
right?
now. Like,
food's a friend. But that everybody has such a different response to it. And I think you guys said, or maybe Brad said this when we that night when we were talking about all these ideas that we have for the conference, which is going to be so much fun.
Mm-hmm.
But he said that y'all have a friend. And I have said this on live stream. Like, I will own this for the rest of my life because I say it to myself now all the time. Who asks herself before she eats, this is like her diet.
Will this bring me joy?
Oh, I thought it was, will this bless my body?
Will this bless my body?
Yeah. Like, or joy.
Right.
Because I'm like, nachos will bring me joy, son. but she asked, will this bless my body? And I thought that was the simplest, most beautiful. I have used that all the time now.
And it's a prayer.
It is a prayer. And it's, I can't tell you how often I'm like, you know what? No, actually, you need some protein. Or you know what? No, you need some greens. Or you need, you know, the other night I had a cookie and I was like, yes, this will bless my body. This is exactly what I need right now. So it's not about a certain diet or a different. And I think it's worth saying as we walk into this conference, we're being really mindful of not, like, if people think that they're going to come and get like, Chris and Rach's diet
plan.
No, we want you to leave feeling really, we want you to leave feeling informed, and we want you to leave feeling proud of yourself and your body and what you, seeing it as a blessing and feeling strong and able to make decisions that are about you feeling better, not you fitting into a certain size of jeans.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I think food and movement are tied in together in that they're both spiritual. At least that's the view that I've adapted now, is that when I move my body, when I feed it things that allow it to move at its best, but also not just move at its best, but at a very internal level feel its best, I'm able to connect in different ways with people or with, would you call it God, the universe, whatever the spirit is that you would say connects us as humans, I'm able to do that. And food and movement are those two gateways to that for me.
That's so good. So, I mean, I guess that's worth saying. We don't know exactly what it's going to be, but it's going to be epic.
It's going to be good.
Yeah, and it's going to be real good. There's going to be lots of music.
Lots of music, lots of movement.
My mission is that everybody should just be in like, athleisure or like workout gear.
Yes.
Because we're going to move.
You should be comfortable.
Yeah, that day. The other day, wear a cuter outfit. But that first day, you better be ready to move.
Do not wear your heels, girls.
No, don't wear your heels or you're going
to
be sad.
I'm going to ask you to take it off
and
throw it up in the air.
And we have some really awesome speaker. Oh my gosh, it's going to be so fun.
It's going to be awesome.
I can't wait. I think what's going to be cool is that some people who are coming to that first day weren't able to get tickets to the other 2 days. Some people are pushing themselves outside of their comfort zone, trying something that they've never done before. And what I love is there will be people who come in on day two, which is like when the conference officially starts. Because Health Day is day one.
Day one.
Which we got to get a better name for it. Wait, we did it.
We did.
We did.
What's the number? What's day two and day three called?
Day one. Day two is own your. Yes. Thank
we did
you,
it.
Friend.
Okay.
So day two has always been own your past. Day three has always been own your future. And then I said this to Chris and Brad and they were like, oh. Own your present.
So and Rach was like,
yes!
That's it!
Yeah, so that is what day one is about. We're saying health, but that's not a good description. It really is, how do you own right now today? How do you get enough sleep? How do you get enough water? How do you eat foods that bless your body? How do you do physical activity that makes you feel good? and use that to give yourself the energy to show up for your life in the way that you want to.
Exactly.
And it's going to be real good music. Because Ahsaan's a DJ, so you know.
Ahsaan's coming back?
Oh, Ahsaan is like, my mission
is
that.
He needs to be at every single one.
He is. He is. And
if y'all don't know Ahsaan, like, you need to book him for your wedding, for anything.
Yeah, no, if they've gone to any of our events, he's always been our DJ. Okay. So they love him.
So they know.
But my mission is like someday when Ellen retires and then they give me that slot on TV, that Ahsaan will be my DJ.
Putting it into existence.
Just put that into the universe. Hey, man. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
This was such a fun interview because it was like we went all over the place.
We went all over the place.
But I feel like they got to meet you. I hope that they got to meet you and hear your heart. And this is nothing. A, if you can get into one of Chris Chandler.
Stop.
Is his name. If you can get into one of Chris's class here in Austin, you will bless your life like you don't even know.
And please introduce yourself to me if you do come. Please, please, please.
Oh, my gosh. And he's so nice. He will give you a hug and he will
but
be
I'll
so.
But I'll kick your butt,
too. He'll kick your butt. Where can they follow you on
Instagram? Is Christopher Jacob Chandler.
Christopher Jacob Chandler.
Full name, because there's too many Chris Chandlers in this world.
There you go.
And then website will be live in January, ChristopherJacobChandler.com.
Yeah, it will. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Hey, y'all, we should hang out on more than just this podcast, which means that the next time you're on Instagram or Facebook or YouTube, be sure and type Rachel Hollis into the search bar and check out all the fun things we have going on your favorite platform. The RISE conference is back on. Well, I mean, I guess it was always on, but we put tickets on sale a couple of months ago, and I don't know if you heard, but our women's conference sold out in 27 minutes. Almost 4,000 people. 27 minutes. It's bananas. We were super happy. A lot of people online, super bummed out. Because so many of you have looked forward to going. So many of you have been saving up money. So many of you wanted to experience RISE Weekend for yourselves. Well, sister, we got you. We are coming in hot to Garland, Texas. Come on, you knew I had to do the great state of Texas, right? It's about 20 minutes outside of Dallas. It's an awesome, incredible space. And it's happening in July. July 18th, 19th, and 20th, to be exact. So if you want to experience RISE Weekend, get your cowboy boots out, get a hat. You don't have to. But make sure you're ready for January 28th. Tickets will go on sale. And I don't know how it could be possible that we would sell out again, but we might. And you don't want to miss out on your chance to buy your tickets. For more information, go to theholisco.com.